know, and I actually began to realize that, you know, this is not how I am happily.
Yeah.
God has blessed me with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I should be accessing those blessings and times, you know, so I don't want to be gentle myself.
Yeah, that's really good. Because last week we talked about who we are in Christ, but also what we have. And so it's one thing to know. So you hit on a really, really important point. It's one thing to know who we are and to know what we have, but how do we access it? And how do we live like it's true? You know, so that's it right there.
Yeah. Yeah, this, by the way, you know, I wrote this down just so we can kind of see. And obviously there is a whole lot more. And there's a whole lot that is unsaid, and there's a whole lot of people that are not here, and there's a whole lot of people across the world that are also in Christ, in which case many of us have things that's difficult for us to embrace, and many of us has things that's easy for us to embrace. And so I thank you for all of those who decided to share. And you know, I want to encourage us, these spiritual charges that we're going to be doing throughout the week, they're like the backbone for what we're doing in this series. And they are for four reasons. The first is that they are the things that we're doing outside of Sunday. So it's the majority of our week. So I encourage us to really take this seriously as we going forward. The second thing is that they will allow us to engage with the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. That's the other reason why they're the backbone for what we're doing in this series. And the other third one is that they will prepare us to receive the next message as the Holy Spirit is laying us out and, you know, in order. They'll prepare us for whatever God has to say for us on that next Sunday. And the last thing is they also will prepare us to minister to our fellow brothers and sisters. Yeah. So when we give you these spiritual charges week after week, I encourage you to take it seriously, to do it as best as you can throughout the week, because I want all of us to get on the other side of this series feeling empowered, ready to go empower other people. Like, yeah, you know, feeling the strong and really embracing our identity. You see, it is important for us to remember that in this empowering season, we will personally be empowered. Individually, we will. But we need each other to empower one another. And it's in these small groups, in these intimate details, not just now, but throughout the week. Let me call Brother William. Hey, look, you know, to receive and to give an encouragement. And that leads us to why we wanted to do this exercise. You look up here, you have shared with someone. There are some of us who have a difficult time turning the other cheek, but there are others who have an easier time doing that. So you can rally around Sister Van and, you know, Sister Pam and just be like, hey, we can encourage you.
Yeah.
That's why we did this. So we can see that some people have certain things that's easier to embrace, and some things is more difficult to embrace. We can help each other. So I encourage us to keep that kind of conversation going, where we're sharing that with one another, share that with somebody that's not here right now, that you're thinking about, that the Holy Spirit lay on your heart, and let's share one another. Brother Dan, go ahead.
Speaking of those who are not here, so is this being forced to be on the website so those who are not here can have access to it?
He asked if it's being recorded. Yes, it is definitely being recorded. So those who are not here listening to us, if you're listening to this, this applies to you. Take it seriously throughout the week. You know, we'll spend, you know, some times in small groups, you know, stating these truths. And I think that it's really, really important for us to be in communication with one another. I think the world does a whole lot of things to divide us as Christians and as the body of Christ. And this is us in this congregation saying, hey, no, I'm going to embrace my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm going to empower them, and I'm going to encourage them, and I'm going to let them do that to me.
Yep.
And I'm going to be willing to share. So I think that's really, really important.
Yeah. All right, so we mentioned this is week two. Oh, sorry, guys, tripping over this cord. Week two of the Empower series. And for the next period, we're going to unravel a couple more questions. why is it important to embrace our identity in Christ, and how do we embrace our identity in Christ? So we're going to have one more open discussion before we get into the Word. So we're just going to focus on that first question. Why do you guys think it's important to embrace our identity in Christ? No, you can go ahead. We'll just do this in the larger group. Yeah, sorry. So just call it out.
Call it out.
Pam.
I feel like it's important to embrace our identity in Christ so we can understand that power that we do have in Christ.
Yeah.
Because we will, it's just William's testimony was awesome because that's the power of Christ.
Yep.
Without that power and that belief that he took a stand in, he could have easily fell victim
to
what he was going through. So it's that power we need to understand every day.
Yep. So you're saying if we don't embrace our identity in Christ, we won't have that access to the power that is ours, that we do have access to, but we won't access it.
Yes. I would say also that embracing the power actually gives honor and glory.
Yeah. That's so good, because I think there's this false humility in churches. And I grew up in a church where we downplayed ourselves. You know, anything positive about yourself was selfish, you know, and that's huge, because we don't give glory to God when we downplay ourselves and who we are and what we have in Christ. We give him glory when we show, this is what God gave me. This is who I am. He gave me this new life. I didn't do this. He gave me this new identity. So yes, that's awesome. Oh, yeah. So if you didn't hear, Pat said it's important so that we can give glory to God. Brother Aaron?
I would say, you know, it's like if a police officer is in his car, his off-duty car, when it's playing close, people just don't recognize him unless they know him personally. As a police officer, they don't identify with the authority or respect.
That's so good.
So when you embrace your identity in Christ, it is of the likes of getting in your squad car, uniform. And that's regardless of what's happening at home or outside of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's an act of faith to put that on. And I think police officers, they recognize as they are among the people, they embrace their identity.
Yep.
Putting on their uniform and in their squad car, they recognize that people in the natural world see and respect that.
Yep.
And I think it's the same in the spirit world.
Yes.
We embrace that. You know what? Regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of how I feel, I embrace who I am in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of that, what's going on in the spiritual world takes notice of that.
Yes, yes. So for those of you who didn't hear, who are listening, Brother Aaron said it's embracing our identity is like putting on our police officer uniform. Others will see and know who we are in Christ and will respect the authority. And I think to add one more thing, you know, I think sometimes we, again, to kind of go along with the fear of, you know, will I be perceived as prideful? A police officer is a police officer, and he or she does have authority, you know, and so we don't have to be afraid of, well, if I say that I'm so-and-so or if I act like I'm so-and-so, that people are going to, you know, think I'm prideful and what are you doing trying to say this to me? No, they will actually, like you said, respect and receive it, because it's the truth, you know, that is who we are. Sister Van?
And taking what everyone said and embracing it. It's a new sign of freedom.
Mm.
When you have all this power and glorifying God, it's the freedom to let go of those fear factors that you might have.
Yes.
That you might fear that hinders you and stuff. It's a new sign of freedom.
Yep.
Once you embrace your identity in Christ, because there are no fears or worries, just like cast all your burdens unto him.
Yes.
It's a new sign of freedom.
Yes. Yes, embracing our identity in Christ gives us freedom. That's wonderful. I'm going to go ahead and get into... Yes, go ahead, Brother Dan.
One of the most important things is to... Ephesians talks about our armor.
Yes, we'll get there.
We're fighting the battle with identity.
Yes.
We don't understand what our weapon is.
Mm-hmm.
Just laugh at us.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know who we are in Christ and our authority and our weapon that we have.
Yep.
This is the word of God.
Yeah, because we'll be a warrior whether or not we put on the armor, right? So we better embrace that we're a warrior, right? Yeah. All right, so we're going to be getting into Ephesians chapter 2. And as Travis and I have been preparing, you know, it's just been such a blessing because really the word is just going to speak for itself. We're going to point out a few things, but... You know, God is good, and there's just so much to unpack. So I'm going to go ahead and read Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So in three verses, Paul decided it was important for us to know eight things about who we used to be. He says, you were dead. You were followers of the world system, followers of the prince of the power of the air. You were sons of disobedience. You lived in the passions of your flesh. You just did whatever felt good, and you carried out the desires of the body and mind. You were children of wrath, and you were like everyone else. You weren't set apart. So that's a lot in three verses that he reminds us of. And the next verse, thankfully there's a but God, right? We all like but God. Verses 4 through 10, we'll go into a little bit, a lot deeper into how God intervened on our behalf when we were dead and followers of Satan and followers of the world system, etc. But for now, I want to skip down to verse 11, and we're just going to complete the list of all the things that we used to be. So verse 11, therefore remember. So it's important for us to remember these things. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. All right. So, are you ready to add a few more to that list? I think after those verses, we'll be up to 15 things that we used to be before we were in Christ. So the first one that he mentions is you were Gentiles, or the uncircumcision. So, you know, the people who were not Jewish, they didn't have access to God. Jesus broke down the wall of hostility, which will come later in this chapter. You were separated from Christ. And I mean, we could go on and on about what it means to be separated from Christ and all the things that happen when we're separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Again, this is talking about, you know, the Gentiles not being able to be a part of the promise that Israel had. But alienated, that's a strong word. Strangers of the covenant of promise, hopeless, and without God in the world. And I just love how he puts in the world, like, you just lost in the world, completely without God. Like, just thinking about the massiveness of the world, and you're just without God in the world. And then that last verse talks about how we were far off. Verse 11 through 13, chapter 2. Yeah, so I'm going to mention a few more things that we were before we were in Christ, and they're coming from other verses. I'll briefly read them, but if you want to jot them down, you can check them out later. But before we were in Christ, we were blind. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Before Christ, we were slaves to sin. Romans 6:17-18. "But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." So before Christ, we didn't have a choice. We were slaves to sin. We couldn't do anything about it. We were slave to sin. We were lovers of darkness, John 3:19-20. "And the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." Before we were in Christ, we were sick. Mark 2:17, Jesus says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Before we were in Christ, we were lost. Luke 15 talks about three different parables about, you know, the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son. And so you can check those out. Those are in Luke 15. But we were lost before Christ. Before we were in Christ, we were under the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." So those are 21 things, and I'm sure the Bible has more to offer as to who we were before we knew Christ. And so the next, we're going to go ahead and go back to the good chapters, the "but God," or the good verses, "but God" in verse 4 of chapter 2 in Ephesians. "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared that we should walk in them." I'm going to go ahead and skip forward to verse 14, 14 verses 14 through 22. "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." So praise God, right? Yes. We needed that. We needed to be reminded of who we are. And just to break it down, again, we're just going to let the word speak for itself. So there's a lot in that passage, a lot that we could unpack. But just as a little recap, now that we are in Christ, we are loved, we are alive, we are saved, we have been raised with Christ, we have been seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, which speaks to our authority. You are God's workmanship. You have been brought near You are reconciled. You have been given peace. You have access to God. You are fellow citizens. You are a saint, not a sinner. You are a saint. You are a member of the household of God, and you are being built together into a dwelling place for God. Again, this is such great news. But the sad truth is that we don't always fully embrace all of these things as we've been discussing. And we don't always believe or accept what God really says about us. So sometimes we need to be reminded of why it is important. So that's the question that we're answering. Why is it important to embrace your identity in Christ? And you guys gave some incredible answers that truly ministered to me. And I can't wait to re-listen to this to hear them again. But the answer to this is pretty simple. There's a lot of things we could say, but the answer is simple. If we don't embrace who we are in Christ, we will go back to our default. We will always be who we are in Christ. The bride that I shared about in my poem last week will always be the bride. But if she doesn't embrace who she is, if she doesn't embrace her new husband, she will always go back to prostituting herself. So if we don't embrace who we are in Christ, we will live out our old identity. We won't be sinners, but we'll be prone to sin. We won't be controlled by our flesh, but we'll be prone to give in to the desires of our flesh. So it's like I have this image in my mind of being in a prison, and God says, "You're free." And he breaks the chains. You were in bondage. You were chained up. And he breaks the chains. And he unlocks the door. And you are 100% free. Nothing can change that. You are free. But if you don't get up and walk out of the prison, you won't walk in freedom. So it is so important, and I'm so thankful that this is contrasted in Ephesians. It is so important for us to remember who we were and who we are now, because there's no middle ground. If we don't embrace who we are, we will go back to those things, and those things are ugly. Those things are ugly. And I encourage you to go back through all of those, that list of 21 things that we used to be. And just remember, you know, remember your life and kind of where those things click for you, you know, as far as your story before Christ. And just remember where you really were before Christ, so that you can fully embrace your identity in Christ. And Travis is going to kind of share with us a little bit more about how to do that.
Yeah. Thank you. Praise God that, I mean, I don't know if you heard all of those things, really heard those things that we were, and then heard the things that we are now. It's powerful. Isn't that powerful? This is powerful, straight from the Word. Some of you who are listening may even be a revelation for you. To see the risk of not embracing your identity in Christ is that you're going to walk out in death. You're going to walk out and look at that list of things. You're going to walk those things out even though you have a new identity in Christ. You will be bound to your old identity. You're bound to walk that out even though you are in Christ and you are actually free. So thank you. Thank you so much for that word. It's such a powerful thing. This is, you know, here's the thing. The enemy wants to disrupt your view of your identity in Christ. And this is part of the reason why he wants to do it, is because he understands the power when you embrace it.
Yes.
I mean, there's all types of criminals that want to convince the cop that he's not a cop, that he doesn't have any authority. But he does have the authority. So we say, yeah, put on a uniform, walk in freedom, walk out of that prison. And I want to share something with you. I want you guys, if you want to, you can close your eyes, but I want you to really hear this. This is something that the Lord came across. The one true God who created the universe, who created the hundreds of millions of galaxies in the universe, who created many solar systems within the galaxy, who created the planets and moons within each solar system, who created our planet within our solar system, who created the mountains, who created the oceans, who created the plants and vegetation, who created all of life everywhere there is life. This same God created you and concluded the universe needed one of you. I'm going to say that again. This same God, the one true God that created all of these amazing things that people praise, people have worshiped the sun and all of the stuff, he also said, the universe needs one of you. You need to be created. There's a purpose, there's a plan for you. And I want us to really embrace that. Think further on that. You either choose to let that sink in or you choose to let that sink through. Don't let that reality, that truth, and all of the things that Carissa talked about who we are in Christ, sink through you. Let it sink in and really believe it and walk in that. So I encourage you to do that. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. It says this, the word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in a womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, but I protested. Oh no, Lord. God, look, I don't know how to speak since I'm only a youth. Just want to pause right there. Raise your hand if you felt like you were inadequate. Where it's just like, but I'm this. I don't have this education. I don't have this background. I don't have this fill in the blank. And look at the kind of things that God says. Then the Lord said to me in verse 7, do not say I am only a youth. So I want to pause right there. Whatever it is that you're responding to God when he calls you out and say, hey, before the foundations, before you were born, I got this plan for you. I said, yeah, there's a moon. Yeah, there's a sun. Yeah, there are planets. But there needs to be a you. And don't and whatever it is that you respond to God with, God is first saying, do not say that. And this is what he said to him. He said, do not say I am only a youth. For you will go everywhere I send you and speak whatever I tell you to speak. Talk about empowerment, right? Talk about authority. Talk about power. And he says, do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you. I'm going to say it again. This is God talking. That same one true God says, do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to deliver you. This is the Lord's declaration. This is the Lord's declaration. This is the Lord's declaration. Mankind is making all kinds of declarations on the earth. This is the Lord's declaration. Then the Lord reached out to me. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. So he was afraid to speak because he's only a youth. And God said first, don't worry about that. Don't say that. Because you don't know what I'm about to do. I'm about to fill you with my words. Words that it doesn't matter whether you're a youth or whether you're old. They're still my words. They're still my words. And so God reached out and touched them. And then in verse 10 it says, see, I have appointed you today over the nations and the kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and to plant. Praise God. You see, Jeremiah was in God's eye and God had something very specific for him. God had a plan for him. Ephesians 2:10, as Carissa pointed out, for we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared ahead of time that we may walk in them. This same God that created the universe created you, but he also created you with the plan, with the purpose. And so with these passages and many, many more, I'm sure you guys can sift through and you're probably thinking of some passages right now if you're listening to this. It's very obvious that it's important to embrace our identity in Christ. Because throughout the scripture, God is consistently reminding us of who he says we are. But how do we do it? Well, let me ask you this question. How do you embrace your identity in Christ? I want you to marinate out on that for a second. And what I would say is, another way to ask it is, what do you consider to be the best way to embrace your identity in Christ. We talked about what our identity is. We talked about why it's important to embrace our identity in Christ. And I just want to share briefly just some insights that I believe the Lord has given me on how to embrace it. After reading this passage, it's clear that Paul gives at least three crucial things that we can do to help us embrace our identity in Christ. Are you ready? It may shock you how simple these are. It may shock you. But yet these things are very powerful. Here's the first thing. In order to embrace your identity in Christ, are you ready? You need to let go of your old identity. Let it go. Let it go. Imagine that you are in a road that splits left and right. And again, now we're talking about people who are in Christ. Just keep this in mind. We're not talking about the subjects of salvation right now. We're talking about those who are in Christ. So imagine that the road going left represents your old identity, represents your old mentality, represents fill in the blank in terms of what Carissa listed out in terms of who you were. The world splitting to the right represents your new identity in Christ and who you are and where God is wanting to take you and how God wants to empower you. Now, here's the thing. Do you go left or do you go right? And here's the real problem that I see for us, y'all. Some of us are trying to go left and right at the same time. It doesn't make sense. But that's exactly what we're doing. We're trying to go left and right at the same time. So it's that simple. The first thing is, if you really want to embrace your identity in Christ, let go of your old identity. Let it go. Simply let it go. Ask yourself, which road are you walking on? This is not about condemnation. Just be honest with yourself. Because remember, we're talking about God is with you. It's not like, oh, I recognize that I went down the left road. All right, I guess God is not with me. No, that's the devil. Ain't nothing but the devil telling you that. That's what we're talking about. Fighting against those thoughts that I have nothing to do with truth. You have the freedom to just say, man, I recognize I started down the left road. I've been really identifying with my old self. It feels more natural. It feels more comfortable. But let me tell you this. Don't you know that it will be more comfortable the more you walk down that right path in Christ? You actually get more and more comfortable. I used to have some of the most profane words coming out of my mouth when I was younger before I was in Christ. I got very comfortable without a profane mouth. It was really uncomfortable at the beginning, but it became very comfortable to not talk like I used to talk. And I don't even think about it anymore. And so it doesn't have to, you know, condemn you. But if you feel convicted by the Holy Spirit and say, man, I've been really identifying with my old self, God can help you. It's time to identify with who you are in Christ. Therefore, I want you to embrace your new identity in Christ. You need to let go. And what he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and I'm reading this from the King James. It starts off like this. And you were made alive. That's how the New King James starts off. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, pause right there. God is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. You have right now so many people laying accusations against our God. All types of accusations that are all lies. And one of those accusations is they present God as if he is poor in mercy, as if he got no mercy. In fact, I even heard people say they got more mercy than God. I literally heard someone say that. I got more mercy than God. That is a lie. God is rich in mercy. And so, yes, he says, the Lord God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Praise God, y'all. Let's embrace that. Let's embrace that. You've been made alive. You were once dead, but you have been made alive. You can no longer identify with death when you've been made alive. If you aren't in Christ, you identify with life. Don't identify with death. If you identify with life, the power of Jesus will fill your life. If you identify with life, the power of Jesus will fill your life. The same Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Yes. Or other versions say he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And look, another version say, behold. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God for that. I want you to imagine a caterpillar, right? Y'all know what a caterpillar looks like, crawling around. Because of Jesus, let's say you're a caterpillar. You enter a cocoon, which represents death. Let's just say that represents death. Out from the grave, as Jesus says, we raised with Jesus, you emerge as a butterfly. Here's something what's interesting. I want you to just get this illustration. It's not a perfect illustration, but it does highlight some interesting things. Here's the reality. A butterfly is not a caterpillar. A butterfly is not a caterpillar. In the same way, a caterpillar is not a butterfly. A caterpillar can become a butterfly. And a butterfly used to be a caterpillar, but they are not the same. A butterfly is a new creature. It's a new creature. And the reality is that, you know, when a butterfly emerges from the cocoon, there can be a temptation to crawl like it used to crawl, like a caterpillar. It's got these wings. The wings may feel a little heavy. I'm not used to these wings. Like, what is this? And so what I'm saying is that when you embrace your identity in Christ, it's like the butterfly taking flight. Yes. Taking flight. I feel like God is saying to all of us, take flight. Yes. In the name of Jesus, take flight. Yes. By experiencing the freedom of the sky, the butterfly gets to experience life in a way that it never could have as a caterpillar. Yes. And it is time for you to stop identifying with the old creature and embrace your new identity as the new creature. It's time to take flight in freedom. Someone to say freedom. Freedom. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 36, this is what Jesus says. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, somebody say it. Free. You are free indeed. Amen. No one can snatch you from Jesus' hands. What Jesus says that you are free indeed, what he is saying is that there is no power, no angel, no authority. There is nothing that can put you back in bondage. Like Carissa said, you can stay in the jail all you want. The jail will remain open. The chains will remain off. You're free indeed. You're free indeed. You can no longer identify with being a slave in bondage. If you are in Christ, you must identify with freedom. You are free. It is time to embrace the freedom you have in Christ. So yes, in order to truly embrace your identity in Christ, you must let the old self go. You must stop identifying with the old identity. And here's the second way. In order to embrace your identity in Christ, you need to consistently remind yourself of your identity in Christ. This means to regularly read, study, meditate on what the Bible says about who you are in Christ. It really is that simple. Constantly remind yourself. I'm married. I know my wife loves me. I like to be reminded that she loves me. I like that. I'm sure she likes it too. I mean, she might like a little bit more than me, but you know. I'm sure she like. Do you like it? Okay, she says she likes it. But I'm just saying, like, God, like, remind yourself of who you are. I think that when you look at Paul and you look at all the writings in his letters, he is consistently reminding you of who you are in Christ in all of his letters. I mean, one might take the conclusion that this man thinks that it's important. It is. And this is how to do it. You embrace your identity in Christ by way of reminding yourself regularly, what does God say? Because the reality, y'all, we got a lot of competing voices, a lot of competing content that fills our mind. And if we don't evaluate ourselves daily, we look up a year later, a week later, a day later, and I'm like, oh man, what the world? So yes, regularly remind yourself of your identity in Christ. It also means to regularly share with one another. To regularly share with one another these truths. It really is that simple. Here's the third thing. In order to embrace your identity in Christ, you need to, here it is, folks, live out your new identity in Christ. Live it out. It really is that simple. The more you walk in your identity and do the good works which God prepared in advance for you to do, which he said in Ephesians 2:10, as I mentioned earlier, the more comfortable you will become with your new identity. The more that butterfly flies, the more comfortable the butterfly will be with the sky, with the wings and all that comes with that. So yes, we need to walk in our new identity. So yes, embrace your old identity. Embrace your new identity. Let go of your old identity. In the same way, your life in Christ, by leading of the Holy Spirit, the more you embrace your new identity, the more you will become comfortable with it. The easier it will become for you. And here's the thing. As this happens, your old identity will lose its appeal. It will lose its appeal. It's impossible for you to get closer and closer, walking in life, and find death appealing. Fill in the blanks. You can go with any of those things that Carissa listed. It is impossible. The closer you are walking in light, it's impossible for you to find darkness appealing. The more you're walking in peace, it's the more impossible for you to find chaos appealing. So yes, walk in it. Go ahead, babe.
Praise God.
I mean, I can go on, but man.
Yeah, even as you were speaking, I just was thinking of even a few more things, because this is such, as Travis said, this topic is all over the Word. It's so important. And, you know, one of the things I thought about was, this is basically what it means to renew our minds, right?
Yeah.
We've already been given everything that we need. It's already 100% true, 100% reality. It's just a matter of getting our minds to believe that and really walk it out. And I don't know about you guys, but you know, if I try to go right and I try to go left at the same time, I don't go anywhere.
Amen.
And I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there, you know, just not going anywhere, you know. So going into next week, our spiritual charge, which Travis didn't share this, but we have a little bit of a corny reason for calling it a spiritual charge, because, you know, we're in power, so we gotta charge up.
Yeah,
you know?
Gotta charge
so,
up.
Every week, we are going to be giving a spiritual charge. So this week, we are asking that we would all set aside time to spend with the Lord. So that's the first thing. This has to be, you know, a set aside, intentional thing. And then once you're there, spending time with the Lord, praying to him, we would ask that you ask God to reveal to you those things about your old identity that you are holding on to. Because we all know that illustration, right? We can't have something else in our hands if we already have our hands full.
Yeah, and the second thing is ask God to show you what parts of your old identity that you're still holding on to.
Yeah.
And so this, as Chris is saying, this is a time to really dedicate to the Lord, be very intentional, and be honest. Open yourself to say, hey, is there any parts of my old identity that I'm holding on to? And if there are, what are those things?
Yep. And then ask God to help you let it go. And one of the things that we were thinking of when we were preparing is that this doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah.
You know, just ask Him to reveal it and let it go with Him, trusting that He will protect you and hold you, and He will do the work in your life.
Amen.
So go
yeah,
ahead.
And then the last thing is, it's really this simple, to share that experience with at least one other person. As I said, these spiritual charges are the backbone of what we're doing here, because it's not about us, it's about the Holy Spirit. And so if you are saying that, not just on Sundays, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead my day-to-day, my week-to-week, and this is one of the ways to do it. So it's a charge, it's a challenge. I'm not saying that this is easy, but I'm saying that, man, I encourage us to do it anyway. It's time that Christians do more hard things, things that are difficult to do. I talked about how it's hard for me to embrace the fact that I am strong. I have a difficult time recognizing and identify with being afraid and being discouraged. Well, God says, be strong and courageous. And so that's the same thing that God is saying to all of us. Be strong and courageous. And part of what that being strong and courageous is, I got to share an experience. Like Brother William leading us and inspiring us. He was strong and courageous, sharing those intimate parts of that night where he called out to Jesus. And so we can do this too. So yeah, that's the last part, is whatever that experience that you have, just ask the Spirit. And this is what I encourage you with too. Ask God who He wants you to share it with. I really encourage that. You may even right now have somebody in your mind. I'd say, just put it aside for now. Maybe it is that person. But just let God guide you. And ask God who He wants you to share it with. And yeah, go ahead and share with someone.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. Father God, I thank you so much for ministering your word to us. I thank you so much that you are very clear in your word who we are in Christ. I thank you that you don't scoff at us and say, "Oh, well, you should know already. You should already be walking in that." You don't say that. You clearly, carefully lay it out in your word, and you show us why it is so important to embrace who we are in Christ. God, we thank you. We praise you so much that you have given us this new life with access to you, with authority and power. And it's truly incredible, Father, that you invite us to be all those things, and you are truly with us. God, I just pray that we would take these spiritual charges to heart this next week, and that your Spirit would just move as we seek to consider the things that we maybe have been holding on to from our past identity. And God, I do just pray that you'll move in our fellowship as we reach out to one another and share and pray. God, would you just show us? Would you give us eyes to see the strengths and the gifts in our fellow brothers and sisters that we can be blessed by? And at the same time, would you just so graciously show us how we can bless others and how we can be an encouragement to others in this walk? We just thank you and praise you. You are so good. You are so good. And we're so thankful that you're on this journey with us. God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Are there any questions or comments before we head out?
Anything.
I just want to share that all I've been thinking about is I'm going to make a list. In Christ, out of Christ.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So I'm going to have it on one side, and next to me, these are the benefits, and these are not.
Yeah. Amen. Praise Jesus.
Can you type it up and give it to us?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can share it with us. Yeah. Yeah, yes.
Praise God.
Yeah, brother.
I just want to say that we're sitting here and we're hearing this word. This word is actually.
Whoa, yeah.